WDR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. A New York judge ordering the Trump Organization to pay a more than $1.6 million fine today after prosecutors uncovered a 13-year tax evasion scheme, which gave executives off-the-books perks. Attorney Jeff Robbins.
Given the plethora of criminal charges and civil charges that the former president faces, $1.6 million is the equivalent of a teeth cleaning, a trip to the dentist. On the other hand, 17 felonies over the course of a 13-year or so tax fraud scheme is not exactly a parking ticket. And this may have a significant impact financially on the company.
At the White House, President Biden welcoming the Japanese Prime Minister today for a bilateral meeting between the two countries. The president did not answer questions about the special counsel appointed to look into his handling of classified documents. This is ABC News. A U.S. Navy vet held in Russia for 9 months is back home. ABC's Martha Raddatz has more.
After 9 months of detention, 35-year-old Taylor Dudley was released by Russian authorities at the Polish border into the arms of his mother, Shelley, and the team who had negotiated his freedom, including former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. The Michigan native and U.S. Navy veteran had traveled to Poland to attend a music festival, but then crossed into Kaliningrad, a small territory governed by Russia between Poland and Lithuania.
Prosecutors in New Mexico say an announcement will be made this month on whether any charges will be pursued in the Rust movie set shooting case. Actor Alec Baldwin shot and killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins with a gun that was supposed to contain blanks. Airbus is testing autonomous technology. The feature, called Dragonfly, can automatically divert a flight to the nearest airport and communicate with air traffic control. Alex Perez, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The TikTok social media app is now banned on Wisconsin state government computers, cell phones, and other devices. Officials are concerned TikTok's Chinese owners can track American users and get a hold of their data. Governor Evers says he made the decision after talking with the FBI, Homeland Security, and cybersecurity experts. Too much winter road salt is bad for drinking water as well as lakes, rivers, and streams. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The group Wisconsin Saltwise says 1 teaspoon of salt can make 5 gallons of water toxic for freshwater fish and other organisms. Wisconsin Salt Awareness Week is the 23rd through the 27th. In sports, the Bucks fell to Miami last night 108-102. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media Network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
We've mentioned, inflation is going to be an issue. Let me ask you this. What would you like to see Donald Trump do if you were here? What did you suggest Biden do to address the inflationary pressures we're facing right now?
Well, I can't tell you that because that would be something you could counter and defeat Trump with, or the Republican Party. So tell you.
You think Trump's taking strategy from you on talk radio, Lou?
I mean, you're no Kid Rock, Lou.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark,
welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today. It's the last hour for us before the weekend. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And our guest for this segment, I'm so excited to talk to you, Lori Bertrand, is the new president and CEO of the Ronald McDonald House Charities Northeast Wisconsin. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So for those, I mean, I feel like Ronald McDonald House is, I've always remembered growing up and knowing what it was, and or like having Ronald McDonald be the spokesperson and seeing the commercials. But just as a reminder, even though it's been around for a long time, what does Ronald McDonald House do?
Yeah, so the mission of the Ronald McDonald House is to keep families close and promote the health and well-being of children. So really what it's about creating a space, a home away from home, for families that have to seek care for their child that far from home, right? So it's a place that people can go. They have a warm bed to sleep in, meals, a warm bed to sleep in, comfortable beds to sleep in, meals, all this, all the things that you need to be really focused on your child and the situations that you're dealing with, and take some of that burden of where do I stay? How are we going to manage this when we live 3 hours away? So,
which is happening more and more because it's like the consolidation of hospitals, not just for kids getting treated, but for adults getting treated. Like you, sometimes the closest place that can actually serve the needs of what your care needs to be is not close to home.
It's not right next door. And if it is, you know, there's so much, you know, you don't realize how important that is when you can't get the best treatment that you need. Unless you go far from home, you don't realize all those barriers that exist there. So it's really awesome that the Ronald McDonald House can provide a space for those families to come in, have either have those reoccurring appointments, or maybe they've got an inpatient child that's there for a really long time. And one of the most beautiful pieces of it is it's about the family. So it's not just about a sick or injured child, you know, dealing with a health crisis and their parent or grandparent that's helping them, but it's allows the we allow the siblings to come and be a part of that too. So it's so, as much as it's a hard thing to see when families are on probably their toughest journey ever with their child, it's really nice to see that the other sibling that, you know, gets a chance to still be around mom and dad, still be in the house and still be a part of it and not kind of put somewhere else at grandma's house for 3 months. They get to stay with us and with their family.
And I think that's so important, Lori, what you just pointed out is that this can be a multi-month long stay depending upon what kind of treatment people are getting, right?
Try putting the, I don't think her headshot, her headphones
that's all right.
She was asking about as far as like if people don't necessarily always realize that you can be there for like months and that this isn't just a weekend. This can be like a long term stay.
Absolutely. We have families. The average stay is about 11 days. But we've had families up from, you know, during the pandemic, we had a family that was there for 471 days. So can you imagine
that? Oh, my gosh.
471 days.
I can't even wrap my brain around that.
Yeah, I mean, So what does that end up being? A little over a year and a half?
Yeah. I mean, there was, you know, we had to rent a U-Haul to get everything that they acquired while they were there to be able to go home. But so nice that they were able to do that, you know, and had that place to stay.
And so, as I said in your introduction, you are pretty new.
I am.
So you were at the American Cancer Society. And what inspired the change? I mean, obviously, similarities, I'd imagine. But what was the motivating factor to take on Ronald McDonald House?
Yes. Well, you know, when I was with the American Cancer Society, I was incredibly passionate. They have an incredibly strong mission. And one of the things I always said, because it was such a big mission, is that, you know, my role, what we did at the American Cancer Society was create more moments for people, people that needed those moments that maybe wouldn't get them otherwise. And when I happened to see the posting for the Ronald McDonald House, it just spoke to me. I mean, there's no better way to say it. You know, I am a very family-oriented person. I love the thought of creating moments. And this house gives the space for families to create moments when maybe they wouldn't be able to based on the circumstances that they're facing. So it's such a powerful mission. It's a mission filled with gratitude and honestly, seeing that we have over 350 volunteers that help us run this house every single day. So it's seeing the volunteers come in and the passion that they have. It's seeing the families and their hearts are so open and so thankful for the fact that this house exists. And I mean, it's one of those things where you're kind of like, how could you not want to be a part of it? You know, it's just an incredibly strong mission and it's so incredibly important. So
for the 350 volunteers, what kind of work are they doing when they volunteer?
They are doing everything you can imagine. I always say, so when I load the dishwasher at home twice a day, I tend to get a little angry that I got to load it twice a day, you know, and we have volunteers that come in and just help us empty dishwashers to make sure our families have the dishes in the right cabinet. So when they want to, they have time and the ability to make a meal, they can. We have, you know, volunteers come in and help us make beds and get the rooms ready for our families and, you know, art sessions, you know, clean up our art room because the kids love to draw. I always joke there's this blue patch on the wall. And I always say, you know, it's not a house if there's not coloring or something stuck to the wall, right? So this house really is a home. These kids and these families make it that way. And our volunteers, you know, really do anything you do at your house to keep it clean and to keep it organized. That's what our volunteers help us do.
Wow. And you said there's lots of opportunities to volunteer.
Absolutely. There's many volunteers and many ways you can volunteer. You can see those on our website. So if it's rmhc-easternwi.org. But if you go there's so many different ways. You could make meals for families. You could help us prep our lunch to go program, which is a program where we just kind of get sandwiches and fruits and vegetables cut up so families can pack a bag to take with them to the hospital. So there's so many different ways. I always say if there's something you enjoy doing or just know that that would make a great impact in someone's life, we have it for you and we would love to get you set up with an opportunity to do that.
And Lori, we've had the opportunity to talk to other nonprofits in the last few months. And it's just so interesting because the volunteers, not that they take on a life of themselves, but it's good for the volunteers. Volunteers do it because it makes them feel good. It gives them a sense of community, right? And a sense of belonging.
Absolutely. You know, I am new. I've been there for just about 3 months, and it's incredible to see how many of these volunteers have been around for 20 years. You know, we have volunteers that have surpassed 1,000 hours of volunteerism.
Wow.
I mean, that's crazy and that's amazing. And these people, just their heart is so invested in making sure our families have the best experience when really they are going through those really tough times.
And so one of the other things that has happened since you joined is the expansion of the Ronald McDonald House, which I found out at the right as we were starting is right by Children's.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us more about what the expansion looks like, feels like.
Yeah, so a very big team of volunteers and staff worked really hard to be able to open 14 new long-term rooms. And what a long-term room is for us is it's a family that stays 60 days or more. And it's just a space that's a little bit more spread out. It fits a few more family members because when you're together that long in, you know, small quarters, families need a little bit of space to be able to navigate that journey a little bit. So
you need to be able to shut a door.
Yes, shut a door, take a breath, you know, watch a TV, two different TVs instead of just the one in the room. So that expansion has 14 new long-term rooms. It has an indoor and an outdoor all abilities play area, which is so fantastic because we have a secret garden outside and we've got a little play area, but we don't really have that place for kids to run and be, you know, like be kids when they need to be kids. Yeah. So what's so great is we saw just around Halloween, the first use of that playground, and we saw a little boy in his Superman costume in the swing, and we were so excited to see, you know, it being utilized and like kind of that Imagine campaign come to life for us, as well as seeing the first snowman built out there. Like, it's just so great to see. So we've got indoor and outdoor play areas, a beautiful kitchen for our families on the expansion on that long-term room area, as well as a pet therapy area, which is just so cute. You feel like you're out in the field, little dog houses with dog bones, and being able to meet the pets and the friends of the house that come in to keep our families happy.
Oh, so. That's so great. And so what are some of the events that are coming up in the first half of 2023?
Yeah, so we've got, well, coming up very soon on February 6th, we have our Chef's Dinner. It's an amazing event with six courses and paired with six different wines. It's a sold-out event that people are really excited for. Everyone I talk to is like, oh, that's my favorite event. So that's coming up. We've got our gala this summer. We've got a toss day, which I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's the little tab on the top of your sodas or your beverages. Schools, families, people all across the state collect those and bring them in and help us change that into funds to help support our mission.
I actually have a friend, now that you say that, because you say pop instead of soda.
Yeah.
I'm one of the rare people who says soda. So I was like, pop tab. Those are, oh, soda tabs. Yeah. But I had a friend who actually had childhood cancer. And so to this day, he still collects them.
Yep.
And so when we remember to take them off and save them for AJ, because he still collects them and turns them in. And so that, what month is that?
That's coming up this summer.
Okay.
This summer. And I always laugh because since I've started here, I don't know how many of them I pulled out of the dryer because people give them to me, you shove them in your pockets, and now they're in my dryer.
Careful with that. I was once warned that, like, because I leave a trail of bobby pins everywhere I go, and also leave them in the dryer, and I'm happy that, knock on wood, they have not ruined
caused
my dryer.
A problem.
Yep. And so if people want to volunteer or attend one of these events, where's more information that they should reach out to?
Yeah, so our website. So again, that's rmhc-easternwi.org. You can also call us at the house. I mean, we've got a wonderful, friendly staff and some wonderful volunteers that help answer those phones and get you guys to the right places.
And so final question, does Ronald McDonald still make appearances?
He certainly does. He certainly does, especially at those special events. We love to have him out there to help support us, and everybody loves to see him. So
it's so funny because I feel like it's just what you look for. Because as a kid, I feel like I was on the lookout for Ronald McDonald on commercials and such. And I feel like I see him less these days, but I might also just be because I'm 36 and not on the lookout for Ronald McDonald anymore. All right. Well, Laurie Bertrand, thank you so much for coming in. I'm so excited to see in your new role things that develop and new projects and everything that the Ronald McDonald House is doing. So thank you so much for your work and thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back to talk about Friday the 13th. This is As Goes Wisconsin. When you cry.
Wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast this afternoon with highs around 30. North winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 18 tonight, partly cloudy. Partly cloudy again tomorrow, high of 34. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Chance for scattered showers Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Right now, 26.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to Ask Those Wisconsin with Kristen Bry with spooky music because it's Friday the 13th.
It is.
Are you superstitious?
No.
Not at all?
No. Don't forget, my father was a mortician. We grew upstairs.
No, I know, but that, I don't know if that wouldn't, how? Why would that make you not, like inherently not superstitious?
Because if there were ghosts, I would have run into them on a daily basis.
That's true. Although, don't you feel like the ghosts would have stayed where they died versus where they were embalmed?
I don't know.
That's so, I'm trying to think if I'm not a superstitious. What is the quote from that movie? Is this a little stitious? Maybe not superstitious.
A little stitious.
I'm trying to think, you know, the growing up in theater, you know, saying break a leg versus good luck. I feel like it's like more of the fun things that I buy into rather than really believing.
Yeah, that was more of a, not habit, but it was tradition.
Yeah.
It's tradition.
But I've never had to wear the shirt or the socks and not shower or do other things like for winning games.
The lucky thing.
Yeah. And I've never, you know, the black cat or the broken mirror of bad luck. Like there's nothing, the not forwarding of those email chains.
Oh, well, and because you guys did it on email, right?
Well, no, I mean, I
were
like
you chain letters?
The chain letters, like the early days of email, in like late 90s, early 2000s, of the email chains you would get. If you didn't forward it, you were going to have a lot of bad luck.
Well, back in my day, that was actual letters.
Really?
Yes.
People would mail letters and say, if you don't forward,
yes,
this,
to five people. Chain letters. It was called chain letters. And yes, if you don't forward this to five people and keep the chain going, some horrible booga booga things are going to happen to you. And this probably started happening when I was around, you know, 10 and 11. So I killed more email chains in 5 years.
And for more mail chains.
More mail chains. Yeah, I killed more chain letter chains.
Because even as a kid, you were like, I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing this. This is stupid.
So wait, how would that work? So you would get it and then you'd have to rewrite the letter five times?
Yes. Yes.
It's a lot more work than just forwarding an email.
It certainly is. And people used to do that.
But it was a kid thing? Because I feel like the email chain thing for good luck really targeted an older population that bought into it versus children or teenagers.
Well, anybody listening who's my age, and I just turned 63, so I'm curious, 844-967-2789, Do you remember chain letters?
Not emails.
Not emails. Actual chain letters and what the rules were.
I've never heard of that before.
Ask your mom. I bet your mom knows.
Okay. Well, she's coming today. She's probably on the road. She can't. Don't call, Mom.
No.
Don't focus. Call and drive. Focus on the road. Focus on 43. So like Friday, I saw Friday the 13th on the calendar and I was just kind of like, oh, what fun thing can we do that? But it doesn't really mean anything to me. But I'm not going to be able to pronounce these. But there's actual, I mean, as far as there is phobias for almost everything.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a phobia of the number 13.
I know what that is.
Can you pronounce it?
It's triskaidekaphobia.
Good job. Is it because you've done this on the radio hundreds of times, every time?
For 40 years. You know how many Fridays?
So this is not an original segment that we're doing right now? What are you talking about?
Shockingly, no.
Well, can you pronounce the other one?
There's another one for the fear of the Friday.
The actual day of Friday the 13th.
Oh,
I'm not. Paraskevedetriphobia.
Scaradeviatriphophobia?
So paraskevdic. I literally looked it up this morning. I was like, how do I pronounce this? And then I have it hyperlinked here, but because of the way our computer system works, I can't hear the speakers.
Oh,
so if I play it right now.
Boy, this is a long one.
It's a long one. Do you think you got it?
Paradesca decatriaphobia.
Sure. But actual fear of Friday the 13th.
Wow.
And so, you know, anything that people are doing for good luck today. I feel like finding a four-leaf clover in Wisconsin in the winter, even though there's no snow, is gonna be hard. But you could find pennies facing up.
Can it only be up?
I don't know. Find a penny, pick it up. All
so
day
many
long,
rules.
Good luck.
So many rules.
What other like good luck things can you do? Avoid. It's like I also feel like some of the good luck things. It's like is it avoiding bad luck? Or attracting good luck. Like, I feel like four-leaf clover is like, you're going to have good luck.
Right.
Finding a penny, you're going to have good luck. Avoiding cracks,
ladders.
Cracked ladders, cracks in the sidewalk, you're avoiding bad luck.
Right.
Instead of inviting good luck. Knocking on wood, I feel like, is less about luck. I feel like the background with knock on wood, the way I've always learned it, is this idea that there was like little gnomes that lived in the wood. And when you said something that you wanted to come true, like knock on wood, like I hope this happens, you were like distracting the gnomes that lived in the wood from hearing your hopes so they didn't ruin them. Like, I feel like that's somewhat of the origin story. I could be making some of it up, but I think that's part of it. What I've ever heard, what is the origin of knock on wood? It's like about these little critters that live in the wood that are listening to so they can sabotage your hopes and dreams.
I'm feeling a screenplay from that.
It's like the dark version of trolls.
Yes.
It's like the little gnomes that are there just to sabotage your life.
Yes, yes, yes. And so you have to knock them unconscious. That's hilarious.
All right. Well, when you come back, we are going to talk to Lynn Shaw, who is from Operational K-9, where they train people who are handlers of the K-9 dogs. So when we come back, we will talk to her. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hometown Radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. A New York judge ordering the Trump Organization to pay a more than $1.6 million fine today after prosecutors uncovered a 13-year tax evasion scheme, which gave executives off-the-books perks. Attorney Jeff Robbins.
Given the plethora of criminal charges and civil charges that the former president faces, $1.6 million is the equivalent of a teeth cleaning, a trip to the dentist. On the other hand, 17 felonies over the course of a 13-year or so tax fraud scheme is not exactly a parking ticket.
Severe widespread storms in the South have left at least 9 people dead across Georgia and Alabama. At the White House, President Biden welcoming the Japanese Prime Minister today for a bilateral meeting between the two countries. The president did not answer questions about the special counsel appointed to look into his handling of classified documents. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. There may be a partial solution to the problem of affordable housing in Wisconsin. Since the 1960s, local governments have zoned many districts to be exclusively for single-family homes. Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Jerry DeShane, tells Wisconsin Public Radio tweaking these codes could help solve the housing crisis because offering flexibility for multifamily housing units and mixed-use housing developments would address many issues. More money being invested in helping Wisconsin veterans and their families. Governor Evers and Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary James Bond announced grant awards to provide financial assistance, entrepreneurship training, and other services to improve employment opportunities. Universities, homeless assistance organizations, and veteran centers were among the recipients of the $420,000 in grants. You're listening to the Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin, no matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in on this Friday. If you missed any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And as always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789, especially if you have interest in dog training, because our next guest is from Operational K-9 Medical Team of Wisconsin. Lynn Hsu is the Operations Director and co-founder of Operational K-9 Medical Team of Wisconsin, and we're so excited to have you on the air because we love dogs and animals on this show, especially working ones. So welcome, Lynn.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
So let's just start at the beginning. What does Operational K-9 Medical Team of Wisconsin do?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And a lot of people do think we are dog trainers. But what makes us a little bit different is what we do. We're a group of our board and our volunteers are made up of veterinary staff. We do have some police officers, some canine handlers on the board, as well as some human medical directors and some volunteer firefighters. And what we do is we go to different police departments, fire departments, EMS, and train the trainers how to do point of injury care, not only on working canines, that's our focus, but also on civilian animals. So before they weren't protected under any law to do that. And so therefore, if they rolled up on an accident, they might have to decline doing care to animals, providing care for animals, because they're human medical professionals. So therefore, they can't do veterinary care on the scene. So sort of what we do is we go in, and after we had legislation Bill 435 passed, that allows us to train them to perform care to the equivalent level that they are trained at in the human medical world. So that means like a canine handler would probably only be able to do things like stopping bleeding, maybe some basic CPR. But if then an ambulance and fire crew arrives, they can do more advanced treatments like giving oxygen or placing catheters, giving medication, and doing more life-saving procedures in the field of injury. So we do all that training.
That is fascinating. And it's something that obviously, anyone who goes through it, a fire or a tragedy, like you think about your family, but you also think about your pets, right? And I had never even thought about the extended training that for the first responders could be provided.
Yeah, and they don't get it. They don't get anything when they're going through training through school. There will be teaching in at Mid-State Technical College in Stevens Point at the end of this month. And the dean there is trying to get it added to the curriculum at the Wisconsin Rapids and Stevens Point campus. So I do think over the past 10, 15 years that we've been doing this, we are seeing more of the programs like the DOJ programs. We go to the Waukesha DOJ school, so they are incorporating this, but that is something that people don't think about. Firefighters don't get this sort of training. It's not part of their education. It's not been required by the state for any continuing education, nor do canine handlers. Canine handlers are given the dog, and they're told this is the dog's job. He's either a dual-purpose dog or a single-purpose dog. So they train regularly for the job the dog does. But a lot of these handlers, they don't know. They know the front. They know what comes out of the front end, and they know it comes out of the back end, and that's the extent. So part of our training with them is we teach them how to do a physical exam on their animal, knowing what's normal, what color should the eyes be, what's their normal heart rate, what's their normal respiration rate, how do they restrain their dog so they don't get bit, what are signs of shock, what are signs of conditions like heat stroke, hypothermia, hypothermia, any sort of abdominal. There's a condition that working breed dogs get that's called bloat. Knowing how to recognize those symptoms. We teach them how to, make tourniquets out of whatever they might have on them to stop bleeding. Just anything that we've seen come into the veterinary hospitals that maybe could have been prevented in the field. Those are the sort of things that we teach.
And so as it stands right now, as you said, it's certainly not a requirement, but like, is it, so when you do go to a fire station or you go to a police station, and so how much of it is someone opting into this versus are you guys pushing to make this be part of their training?
We really can't keep up to do it. We're the only organization that does it in the state of Wisconsin. There are like some local veterinarians that will work with their local departments and work with, volunteer departments, and we try anytime, like, for example, when we're going to be going to Stevens Point, we contact the emergency veterinary hospital that's local to them. It's up in Mosinee, and we contact local veterinarians to get involved. And if they don't want to teach in our class, we at least just have them there for the morning lecture part where we can say, this is who this doctor is. This is where they're located. You would not go to them if your dog needs blood. You're going to have to go to the emergency hospital. And the firefighters and the EMS really embrace it. We try and use technical colleges as our locations because they're the most set up, but there are a handful of firehouses that we go to and do training there. And if I have somebody that I know contacts me and they say they're interested in it, but they either don't have a big enough fire department, or maybe they're small and there's only two people, I'll contact them, you know, whoever is closest to them, and ask if those people can, like, sort of hop onto that training so they're not left out in the wind and not getting it. Obviously, our goal would be for us to all be able to do this full time, so we could do it regularly and hit everybody, and so we could make it part of the curriculum at the technical colleges that firefighters, EMS, paramedics, and canine, you know, law enforcement in general are going through. That would be our ultimate goal, to be able to have something established at these same schools where these people are going to learn everything else, or at least at conferences that they go to. We have done some emergency conferences, like on the human side of things. They've asked us to come in for, like, ambulance and firefighters. And we do annually go to the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Canine Handler Association. So we are getting in front of about 170 dogs throughout that weekend, and able to examine them. We've formed a canine registry in the state so we can track injuries, you know, illnesses, and that sort of thing. You know, another thing we would like to do is to be able to track these illnesses and sort of get data for, you know, are these things that could be prevented? For example, bloat can be prevented. Well, the bloat part can't, but the twist, which is the dangerous part.
What is bloat? I've never heard of this before.
Well, it's called GDV, gastric dilus bulbulus, or we just call it bloat. So it's when their abdomen swells, and it can swell with food, it can swell with air, it can swell with gas. And that's not the so critical part, but the part is that stomach then can then twist. And when that stomach twists, it's cutting off blood flow, right? And stuff going, you know, blood going up, blood going down, and being recirculated in through the body. And so that can be the dog could have something, and all the military working dogs, before they even go now to be a military working dog, they have this done preventively before they even go out into the field. It's called a gastropexy, where they take the stomach and they tack it to the side of the abdominal wall. And it can be done with a scope. It doesn't have to be invasive. A lot of people do it when their dog is spayed or neutered. That's when I did it with my personal dog that we use for training. But what that does is the dog could still bloat. Again, that's not the fatal part, right? So they can see that that's happening, and they can get in somewhere and be treated. The part that when it becomes dangerous is the twist. So if they do that gastropexy, that prevents the stomach from twisting. And so it's buying them more time to get in somewhere and to treat that condition. And we have had officers who have told us, I didn't know anything about this before you told me about it, or I think I heard about it, and I actually was able to recognize signs of this in my dog and get him into the veterinarian in time. I was able to stop training. I knew something wasn't going right, and I was able to get him in. And sure enough, they said if I hadn't, you know, done that, or if I had waited and just gone home at the end of the day, you know, we might not have had such a positive outcome.
We're talking to Lynn Hsu, who is the operations director and co-founder of the Operational Canine Medical Team of Wisconsin. Janie, do you have a question?
I just want to say, Lynn, gosh, what you're doing is so important, and it amazes me that this hasn't happened sooner, because pets are such critical, can be such critical parts of people's lives. And if you've suffered a tragedy, if you're undergoing a tragedy and something is wrong with your animal, there's nothing that's going to make you feel worse than not being able to help your pet.
Mm-hmm.
And so this just sounds so healing all the way around.
And we do work with a lot of other nonprofits as well, support them, and they support us to help just that. For example, Canine Pyro up in Green Bay a few years ago, that's sort of a famous success story here in Wisconsin. He was a canine handler. Officer Scott Salzman and Canine Pyro are a canine team, and Pyro was stabbed when he was sent out to stop a bad guy. And he happened to be with another handler who showed up that was skilled, had not only had our class, but just had some human training and knew what to do and knew exactly where to take him. There was a lot of money raised for Pyro, like so much more for his bills and stuff, and so much more than what they needed that the handler said, what can I do so other people don't have to go through what I went through? How can we get this training to all of us? So he works with another organization called the Bark and Blue, and they purchased a $60,000 robotic simulator canine. It's called a Trauma FX Canine Diesel that we can simulate hemorrhage control. We can simulate bomb blasts. We can simulate bloat. We can simulate a chest wound. You know, the dog barks, it bleeds, it does all this stuff. So they purchased that for us to be able to use to do this training around the state.
That's incredible. I think I'm more shocked that I just didn't even realize how it's such a blind spot that you don't think about it. So what was kind of the origin story for you and your co-founder of when you realized like, oh, we just need to start this?
Well, I think it's exactly what you said. It's a blind spot, right? People just expect that cops know this, that EMS knows this, that firefighter and military working dog handlers, search and rescue, that because they have these dogs that do these jobs, they just assume somebody knows how to take care of them. And the origin story is that in Appleton, where I work, the fire department had been gifted a bunch of oxygen masks for dogs and cats, but they had no idea how to use them, and they never came out of the bag. So one of the firefighters came in with his personal dog, with something else, and he told us this, and he said, would you guys mind coming to our facility and teaching us how to do it? So it sort of started there, and then it just took off. You know, word got out, hey, there's a couple people doing this. And so we really took COVID to our advantage to start our nonprofit, because we'd been doing this sort of randomly and using people from all over the place. So we just sort of organized it and, you know, try and work with like-minded people to get this out and rolling. So
absolutely. So if people want to support or learn more, where can they find more information, and what kind of support are you guys looking for?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, every nonprofit's looking for money, right? You know, so that's the biggest thing. We rely on donations, and we only charge a Class B. We do not charge per person for this. We are going to start doing some public general first aid ones to try and just raise some money from the public. And so we just have to gauge what the interest is in that. We are on Oregon Street in Oshkosh, so people can contact us. And I believe you have the links to all of our websites, but our website's pretty easy. It's www.opk9ofwisconsin. So our WI. So they'll find us there, and then they can go to our Facebook page, and we're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all of that.
So check out TikTok and see what pops up.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. We have a young person helping us with that.
All right. Well, I would be down for the general public one, because I can never interpret what my dog's trying to tell me. So maybe your classes would help. But Lynn Shue, thank you so much for joining us. As you said, we will link all of this information on our post for today's episode. But thank you for your work.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Well, we got one more segment before we close out this week. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free, personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with highs around 30. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 18. 34 tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Upper 30s, Sunday and Monday, with a chance for scattered rain showers, Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Right now, 26.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Boogie like we never gonna boogie no more.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A final reminder, because I don't think I've said this yet today.
What?
To let us know if you have a topic that you want to talk to us. Actually, Lynn reached out to me.
Oh, what a great...
I I'm going to be totally honest, I misunderstood what they did. I thought they trained dogs for...
canine handlers.
Yes. Versus the other way around of training handlers to take care of their working dogs. And so what a fascinating... But yeah, she reached out. I think it was after we talked to the journey time.
Cool.
And she reached out and she said, I would love to talk about this on the show. And... then we got COVID, and then December was a little bit of a mess. But so just like the Waukesha story yesterday and her story today, like, we are open to topics. We are
absolutely
open to guests. If you have a compelling story that you think deserves airtime, and it doesn't always have to be controversial, it can be very feel good. Certainly, hopefully, it's about Wisconsin in one way or another.
That would be nice.
As Goes Wisconsin at civicmedia.us. You can always send us your feedback, send us your ideas there. And so, are you going to boogie tonight?
I'm going out.
Birthday shindig.
I have birthday celebration with some really good girlfriends. So my
friend, getting drunk?
Well, there will be drinking involved. there will be some drinking involved. She's making homemade chicken tikka masala, which...
Ooh.
I know. And I love Indian food.
I love Indian food too. I love most carbs. We went to Three Brothers last night, the Serbian restaurant.
Oh.
Which I've never been to.
Did you have pierogies?
We didn't have pierogies. We had moussaka, which was great. I had stuffed peppers, which were great. We had grape leaves. But
I'm not a fan of grape leaves.
I'm not a big fan of grape leaves either. I liked the cheese that came on the plate with the grape leaves, but we had just the potato... like the squishy little potato. No, they weren't potato pancakes.
A dumpling?
Dumpling. Thank you. But yeah, it's like there's nothing inside. It's not like a dumpling that you're used to where there's like little stuffing inside and then they're closed shut. It was just like a puffed up little potato.
Mm.
You were good.
Sounds yummy.
But I also went to, before we went to dinner last night, we also went to my old boss over at Journal Sentinel, David Haynes, has retired from being the editor of the Ideas Lab. And so he had his retirement party last night.
Nice.
Was lovely. George Stanley, who also retired, who was the editor of the Journal Sentinel. His retirement party is later in the month, but we stopped by there. And I'm sure it's probably going to be like what your retirement party will be like, of just people who've been in journalism or broadcasting for so long and have so many stories and so many stories about how the industry has changed and jokes about, you know, retiring, but probably none of these guys are actually,
they're going to find
stuff that they're going to work on.
Definitely.
But it was lovely. And he's actually going to be here for the full hour on Monday.
Oh, good.
And so him being David Haynes, and we didn't get to work with each other for that long. It was a little over a year, but he was lovely to work with. And I'm so excited to have him here on Monday because he just has, you know, I think there's something to be said, especially with newspapers. And I'm sure it's a little bit with radio, but you know, we're here. Radio has changed, I think, in the way the competition of it being podcasts, but the actual function of it, I think is largely the same.
Pretty much.
Versus newspapers now have to be so many different things. And, you know, it's been such a changing landscape. And he always, I'm sure he'll say it Monday too, but he's said to me multiple times, he's like, you know, because he was at the Journal Sentinel for a long time. And he's like, you know, for decades, nothing changed. Everything was the same. The stories changed and what you had to report on changed, mm-hmm. but the process was the process. And then he said, since 2012, things change every month.
Wow.
Of just the focus and the digital aspect that newspapers have to keep up with, that beyond the paper, right? Like the physical paper of it.
And it's all that extra stuff now.
And it's like, what do you do with the website? How do you lay out the website? How do you do SEO for the website? How do you incentivize stories? Because, you know, I think for so long, if you think about the measurement of how well is the newspaper doing, like the whole newspaper was bought. And you couldn't track, once a person bought the newspaper, you couldn't track which stories they read,
right,
which stories they didn't. Sure, you would probably get feedback or more letters on one story or another, but now, you know, you can look into what stories are clicked on, how long they spent on that page. And, you know, I do videos there, so we can measure how my videos or any of the other videos, how many people like it, how many people leave a comment, how many people share it. And so the change of keeping up with all of that.
Well, just the metrics of it.
On,
yeah.
Right? And while still maintaining the message of truth and facts and informing democracy and like holding both of those things, of doing enough of the former to keep the lights on, but knowing that the actual purpose is the latter.
Well, and David has so much institutional knowledge. I have so many questions for him.
Well, he'll be here for a full hour.
I'm really excited because this was before you came back to Wisconsin, but the legislature tried to pull a fast one on the Friday of a July 4th weekend, attempting to gut the open records law, and they got caught and then backed off on it. But no one had to author that. Whoever authored that didn't have to put their name on it. And I'm sure David can explain why.
Why?
Why
give
is
him a heads up and why you're
is,
ask him that.
Why is that a thing? That shouldn't be a thing. If you author it, you should have to put your name on it.
I totally agree. But it is, it's like, especially because the combo of when I would go into the office and David would sit across from me, and then George every once in a while when he wasn't doing millions of things and being pulled into all these different meetings, he would walk by and just exactly what you just said, the institutional knowledge of, you know, the like Tommy Thompson years and those relationships. And I don't want to say, I mean, but kind of, it's like without the, like where the bodies are buried and I remember that,
yep.
You know, of like,
yep.
That's how that went down. And also being there for the tide change of Wisconsin politics and everything that happened and shifted in 2010 after Scott Walker got elected and the partisan nature and the gerrymandering and what things used to be like compared to what they are now. And so it's going to be an excellent conversation. Definitely come back at 1 o'clock on Monday for our conversation with David Haynes. But for now, Have a wonderful weekend.
Wonderful, wonderful, safe weekend.
Wonderful, safe weekend. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes Show if you're listening to WXCO. And for us, another week in 2023 in the books. We will be back on Monday. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
There won't be another worth knowing that we won't know. If you let me skinny dip in the pool of your eyes, maybe by morning we could learn to fly. Oh, Spodio, don't I make us go?
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.